Hey, world changers. Welcome to episode 3 of the Momentous Life Podcast. I'm your host, Malaika Simmons, the creator of the Momentology Method and CEO of Momentology Media. I hope you enjoyed the last episode, and if so, I hope you shared on your favorite social media, texted your business bestie. Last time, we talked about how to create your own blueprint for success using the Momentology Method. In this episode, we'll delve into empathy as an essential transformative skill, showing how it can be applied practically to build connections, improve communication, and drive meaningful outcomes in personal and professional settings. We'll explore ways to harness empathy as a powerful tool for your business, career, and a more meaningful life. If you've been listening to the podcast, you already know that the Momentology Method and the concept of living a momentous life is based on 3 high-level concepts: awareness, gratitude, and expectancy. We focus on intention and self-awareness, but also situational awareness. Empathy is an essential part of that. While it can take practice, turning empathy into action has the power to transform relationships, foster resilience, and lead to positive change. So first, let's be sure we cover the difference between sympathy, pity, compassion, and empathy. While they may seem similar, there are several important differences between these concepts, and empathy specifically is crucial for authentic connection. Sometimes empathy can be misinterpreted as sympathy or pity, and that's why active listening is key. This is a skill many servant leaders develop or they have innately that helps them to understand the people they lead and engender the trust that's required to achieve team goals. Let's start with sympathy. Sympathy is, I feel for you. I see what's happening and I care about you enough to feel uncomfortable with the situation. Friends or coworkers who may have lost their home in a fire, been diagnosed with a terminal illness, or had a devastating family loss. We're sympathetic because, hey, it's not your fault this terrible thing happened to you, right? Pity is, I feel sorry for you. Oh, that's such a shame. But there's a little contempt there because usually those we pity, we can't imagine being anything like us at all. Like seeing someone living on the street, maybe asking for money. You might assume they'll just use it to buy liquor or drugs and you don't want to contribute to their poor decisions. So maybe you buy them a sandwich and give it to them because it must suck to be them, but it's kind of their fault. There's zero connection to the actual human at the center of that experience. Compassion literally means suffer together. Ever hear misery loves company? Usually people say that when one miserable person takes joy in seeing someone else be miserable, but there's another connection. Compassion usually drives people to want to fix the problem, to end the suffering. Not necessarily to help the other person, though, but more to relieve oneself from that shared misery of it. Savior complex and hero fetish can come into play. Because if you see yourself as the one to remove the suffering of someone else, there may be a problem. It's often more about you as a savior than them as the one that's experiencing the problem. It also can become addictive and lead to burnout. Empathy is I feel as you do. By me seeing the world through your eyes, I understand what you feel. I can express how your situation resonates with me and I can validate your feelings without having to have them myself. If your teen daughter breaks up with her boyfriend and she now hates men, reminding her that her wonderful dad is a man and that some men are good and no, that's not going to cut it. The reason why teenagers often say their parents don't understand them is because parents often try to solve their teen's problems using their own past experience, not seeing where the child is and experiencing the challenge from their lens. Yes, teens are dramatic and so are you before you learn that life goes on. The curse of knowledge blinds you to the version of you before you knew you could survive your crush not taking you to the biggest party ever. So you do more telling than listening because you already know the answer. Empathy can shift dynamics and create trust. Empathetic listening can help people feel truly seen and valued. All around the world, humans have words for the desire to be acknowledged. Namaste means the light in me bows to the light in you. Ubuntu, I am because you are. Even in the movies, the avatars greet each other with a phrase that means, I see you. So let's dig into this a little deeper. One situation, different responses. You have a team member, Brian, with a new baby, who's been late for meetings or rescheduling them at the last minute. some assignments have been dropped altogether. Now you want to be understanding, but you have a program to run. What do? If you pity him, you might let him know that while you get it, that he has a new kid, the project still needs competent people and you're going to have to let him go. You then go to your peers saying it's too bad about that Brian couldn't get his life together. If you show sympathy, you may say to him that you understand being a new parent is difficult and offer to change his schedule to help the situation. If you are compassionate, you tell him you remember being a new parent and you had to live with your in-laws, so he should consider himself lucky. But here's what you're going to do. You're going to change his schedule. You may even offer to take him off some mandatory meetings to help out. You give him an extra diaper bag you had from when your child was small and the number to parenting resources because that's what you needed, so you're sure to help him. If you're empathetic, you remember that his wife works at a hospital nearby with crazy shifts, so you ask him if their schedules are conflicting. You ask about his daily work routine and whether there are barriers to him getting his work done specific to his new life and schedule. You ask him how's he feeling about work and whether he feels his lack of attention or maybe some distractions are affecting his coworkers. You ask if he has any recommendations for different ways to contribute to the project. Empathy is a two-way street. Asking someone to be aware of others while you are working to understand their situation helps to come up with solutions that work better for all involved. People who feel seen are far more invested in creating solutions because they are part of it. Empathy in action is how you discover the true root of a challenge and work with those most affected to solve it by co-creating and not just dictating solutions. That being said, y'all, Brian could still lose his job. Empathy does not negate you having to make difficult decisions, but it may help you understand options and equip you to make better decisions. You might be thinking, this sounds like it's practically the same thing, and like, how do I even know if I'm being empathetic? There are simple exercises you can try to practice empathy effectively. The first thing is to assume positive intent. Sometimes we automatically assume someone is malicious in their behavior, or we're quick to cast blame, which immediately puts us on the defensive. This doesn't mean let people walk all over you or fall for their playing the victim. It means allow people to show you who they are without assuming you already know. Confirmation bias will have you looking for something that proves you right for feeling a particular way. Have a little patience with the process of understanding people. You can start by remembering where you've been. For example, you're in a meeting and someone on your team is trying to explain a point of view, but they're not being listened to, so they're becoming irate. As a leader, you may have earned authority that this person doesn't yet have access to. In that moment, you can create a pause, recognize them, elicit a response from them. Facilitate the discussion by bringing in other team members versus letting them just talk over each other. It might just be one of those days. No one is at their best every day, and some haven't yet developed all the skills necessary. Now, it's not all roses. Feeling as someone does can take a toll. Boundaries and self-care are of crucial importance in empathy work. You can practice empathy without taking on others' emotional burdens and be honest and transparent as possible. You have to avoid the B word. Okay, no, not that one. Burnout, people. Burnout is the word. However, on second thought, not avoiding burnout could turn you into the other B word. So be wary. Practice putting some things down. You know, everybody else's stuff that sticks to you because you are or become a magnet. Sometimes when bringing people to the table, you have to back away from the table yourself. There are several stress reduction approaches you can use to stop you from allowing other people's challenges to accumulate at your feet. The main one is recognizing when a problem is not yours to bear. I mean, asking questions is fantastic, but what do you do when you get the answers? Have a plan, create resources to help you empathize, then categorize that info. You're at your strongest when you're clear on what you can and cannot do. Use empathy to help you understand how to dismantle problems, not to take from someone else and pile it on yourself. It's a superpower if wielded correctly. So empathy helps us understand the needs, challenges, and experiences of others, leading to more impactful solutions. It's actually the foundation in the design thinking process and human-centered approaches, which helps humans design products, programs, and policies that work for the user, not the maker. Let me explain. There was a research project. I was conducting focus group sessions and interviews. My team made sure we scheduled these for after normal business hours, weekends, and we had a camera optional but encouraged rule. We had the option of in-person sessions, but held most online through Zoom. One participant thanked us as she felt unsafe in her neighborhood and would not have participated in person. She was thankful for the opportunity to share her voice on her terms. Another was a caregiver and could only interview from her car as her schedule was so unpredictable. She was grateful we would let her dial in from wherever and had some really insightful things to say about the topic. And just said, well, no one ever asked me before. Literally meeting people where they are can give you access to amazing insights that you may have looked over. One client who was in a very technical field failed to understand why I took so much time interviewing her staff when I had access to SOPs and monthly reports. Margaret Mead, famous anthropologist, said, what people say, what they do, and what they say they do are different things. So I wanted to know what they did and how from the time they got up in the morning until the time they went to bed. The workday is just a smaller part of a bigger picture. Understanding that some people are morning people, some are night people, some are visual learners, some need to get their hands dirty. Some people are idealists, some are people pleasers, and some are control freaks. All of those things and their approach to getting work done will vary depending. At the end of the engagement, she said, you know, I was very concerned, but you have really pushed the envelope on improving this department's performance. So their workflow improved, their customer satisfaction was improved, and their employee engagement went up. They went from an overworked, stressed department that felt like stress was just business as usual to an efficient team who knew how to work through challenges as they arose. By the way, they also learned to be empathetic to one another. So, win-win-win. As we head into a new year, maybe there's an opportunity or two for you to practice being an empathetic listener, walking a mile in another's shoes. I bet you don't have to go far to find someone you would care to understand a little bit more, and by doing so could benefit you both. So maybe choose one relationship or area in your life where you want to actively practice empathy. Start with just one conversation or an interaction where you can apply an empathetic approach. And remember, empathy is a skill that gets stronger with practice and intention. Strangely enough, you actually have to mean well to get good results. So, how do you know you're becoming more empathetic? First, notice if you feel like you're learning something new about the people around you. Family, business partners, customers. You know a lot, but you don't know everything. If you aren't learning something new, that means you're working off of old assumptions. Second, people will tell you. I've heard, you get me, and thanks for listening. One person said, I don't know how you knew this would work. If it feels seamless, you're doing something right. In human-centered design, we often say that the delight of the customer shows they feel seen. If a product works for them so well they feel like it was made specifically for them, you're winning. Empathy is how you align needs to solutions. Like Pastor says, I won't keep you too long. I don't want to take up much more of your time. You got a whole new year to get started. I hope you got a sense of feeling of how feeling as someone does can help you lead yourself and others. Foster ideas to make the most out of any environment you find yourself in and create innovation for you and the people who depend on you. Empathy is a gift you can give to yourself and others. Apply one of the empathy exercises I mentioned and observe the difference it makes in a personal or professional relationship. As a servant leader making your way through the world, you want to help people. I get it. Well, you have to see them first. Understand what they need and help them to help themselves. You're not a genie. You're a guide. So act accordingly. I hope you've enjoyed this as well as the previous episodes. And I thank you so much for being a part of my journey. And I invite you to share any insights you may have had with me. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I'd love to hear from you. Also, please follow and share the podcast with anyone you think that can benefit. My goal is to empower 1,000 women to empower 1,000 women globally. Servant leaders, change makers, and social impact pioneers. We got this, world changers. Here's to living a momentous life. Until next time, grateful for you all.